Go show yourselves to the priests, is what our Lord said to the 10 lepers. He did not cure them himself, even though he could have, but he sent them to the priests. And as they were on their way, they were healed of their leprosy. Now, what would we think if these 10 lepers, as leprosy was a disease that was a death sentence, it made one an outcast from society. Nobody wanted to be around them. And you were as good as dead even before dying. If these 10 lepers had said to our Lord when he said, go show yourselves to the priests, what if they had objected and said, no way, I'm not going to go show myself to the priests. You're the Son of God. You cure me right now. Don't send me to the priests. We would have thought, what an arrogant thing for someone who is begging our Lord for a cure to a disease that is a death sentence. But something similar is done by those who reject a great gift our Lord gave us, the sacrament of confession, where it's not the leprosy of the body that is healed, it's the leprosy of the soul. When they object and say, why should I confess my sins to a priest, another human being? They're essentially saying to Jesus Christ, yes, I offended you. Yes, I deserve hell for my sin, but I'm going to tell you how to forgive my sin. You're the Son of God. You forgive me. Don't give that power to anyone else. Don't send me to the priests. Isn't that a terrible pride, arrogance? We know as Catholics, our Lord gave us this sacrament of confession out of the infinite mercy of his Sacred Heart, because he knew it would be good for us. Yes, God alone can forgive sin. But God, who is almighty, certainly has the power to give this power to someone else to exercise in his name. And he did this when he said to the apostles, whose sins you shall forgive, they're forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. He clearly gave to the apostles, the first bishops and priests, the power to forgive sins. And the church has always believed in this power. If some say, oh, some pope invented confession. Say, oh yes, well, when? Tell me the name of the pope who invented confession. Tell me what year it was. Name the document. They cannot answer anything. Why? Because no one invented confession. It was our Lord himself. The church always believed in the power of priests to forgive sins. If there were a pope who had invented confession, there would be a record of it. There would be a record of many writers who would object and say, we never believed that before for centuries, because that's the what non-Catholics object. They say, oh, some few hundred years after Christ, the Catholic Church invented the duty of confessing our sins to a priest. There would be a record of someone saying, we didn't do this for centuries, and now you're saying you have to confess our sins? We never had to do it before. But there's not a single document. Imagine, for example, if some pope were to teach that there are four persons in the Trinity instead of three. Do you think there wouldn't be a single person, a single document somewhere where someone said, wait a minute, this is heresy. This is not Christ's teaching. We never believed in four persons. We always believed in three. Of course, there would be lots of documents saying that. And same, if confession was an invention of the church, if it did not come from Christ, there would be many writers objecting whenever it was supposedly invented, and saying, we never had to do this before. And yet there's not one. Not until 1500 years after Christ, when the Protestant heretics came along and they rejected confession. And in rejecting confession, they rejected this great proof of our Lord's love for us, that he gave us this means of having our sins forgiven, where we humble ourselves on account of our sins, because we have to. We say what we did. We tell what kind of sin it was. It's a great deterrent from sin if we know we have to confess it for mortal sin. And we hear the priest forgive us our sins. How many that don't believe in confession, they tell God they're sorry. But there's no shame in telling God they're sorry. They say, you Catholics, you have it easy. You can do whatever you want wrong, commit the biggest sins, and you just go to tell the priest in confession, and it's all forgiven, and you have it so easy. The truth is, no, you have it really easy, because you don't think you have to tell anyone what you did wrong. If you were not ashamed to commit the sin, knowing that God saw you, what shame is there, do you feel, in telling no one but God that you're sorry? There is no deterrent from sin there. And how many that do not believe in confession, they doubt, they worry, am I really forgiven? Because they cannot hear God respond to them and say they're forgiven. But we, when we go to confession, we hear the words of absolution. And we get the advice of the priest who takes the place of Christ. So confession is a great mercy of our Lord. I want to say a few words on making a good confession. There's a famous dream of St. John Bosco. You know, his dreams were not really dreams, but they were visions God gave him to help him know how to direct the boys in his school. And this dream of the three nooses, where St. John Bosco saw the devils in the form of hideous-looking cats crouching behind some of the boys that had nooses around their neck, and the cats crouched behind them holding the noose. And there were three nooses. And St. John Bosco said to the boys when he was telling them later on this dream, he said, I was surprised how many of you had nooses around your neck. There were many more, he said, than I thought there would be. And he ordered these devils, the cats, to tell him what the nooses meant, what the three nooses were. And the first one, the devil said, the three nooses are the three ways the devil gets them to make bad confessions. The first was by hiding things in confession, hiding mortal sins that must be confessed. The devil said he makes the boys hide their sins out of shame. This is advice St. John Bosco gives to the boys about this. He says the usual snare with which the devil catches the young is to fill them with shame when they are about to confess their sins. When he pushes them to commit sin, he removes all shame as if there was nothing wrong with it. But when they're going to confess, he returns that shame, magnified, and tries to convince them that the priest will be shocked by their sins and will no longer think well of them. And thus, the devil tries to drive souls to the brink of eternal damnation. Oh, how many lads does Satan steal from God, and sometimes forever, by this trick? And then he continues, he says, but you, my children, keep in mind that the confessor is never shocked by any sin we may commit, even if the one who confesses it is a holy person. The priest knows that human weakness is great, and that an unguarded moment may be fatal. He therefore sympathizes with the penitent. When a boy is sick, his mother loves him even more. Sin is a sickness. If a mother should lose her son, how glad she would be if she could restore him to life. Sin is the death of the soul, and how happy a confessor is to be able to recall it to life. Remember then, my dear children, that far from being shocked by your sins, the priest rejoices over your conversion and is moved by your confidence in him and loves and esteems you even more than before. Once confession is over, he thinks no more of it and just forgets it. That is my own daily experience. Besides, if he should remember it, it would only increase his joy and love for you, because he could say to himself, "It is I who saved this child, and one day I will be able to present him pure and holy to God in heaven. Moreover, this child is a guarantee also of my own salvation, for he will be grateful to me and will pray for me." And then he tells the famous story of St. Francis de Sales, who had a young man confess to him many grievous sins. And he asked him, "What do you think of me now? You must think very poorly of me." And St. Francis said, "No, I think you're a saint." He said, "I forgave your sins. How can I remember what is no longer there, what God no longer remembers?" Remember, in the Old Testament, God said, "If your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow." So don't listen to this trick of the devil. We should tell our sins just as they are and know that the priest thinks very highly of us when we have the humility to tell our sins. The other snares, St. John Bosco says, the other two snares are related. One is confessing without true sorrow, and the other, the third, is without a true purpose of amendment. If we have true sorrow for our sins, we would resolve to give them up. For mortal sins, it must be the resolve to never again commit those mortal sins or any mortal sin. If we are attached to so much as one mortal sin that we are not willing to give up, none of our sins can be forgiven, and it would be a bad confession. If we really want to give up sin, we would take the means necessary. If someone said to you, "I want to be a doctor," and you said, "Oh, that's nice. What school are you going to study?" He said, "Oh, I'm not going to school yet." "Oh, well, which school are you looking into studying to become a doctor?" "Oh, I haven't looked into any yet." "Oh, when do you plan on looking into finding a school?" "Oh, I don't know. I'll get around to it sometime." You would say, "Well, you really don't want to become a doctor, because you're not taking any of the steps that will get you there." And if someone has sins and you say, "Well, what are you doing to get rid of them? Do you say your daily prayers?" "Oh, sometimes." "Do you read spiritual books?" "Sometimes." We'd say, "Well, you're not taking the means to get rid of sin." And this is particularly a danger when it comes to occasions of sin, what we call proximate occasions. Obviously, there's all kinds of occasions in the world. You couldn't go out without some remote occasions of sin. We don't have to avoid those. But proximate occasions, those things that are likely to lead us to sin, those we have a duty to avoid. There are those that are necessary proximate occasions, and if we can avoid, we can take the means to prevent them from leading to sin, then we don't have to cut them out if they're truly necessary. But the great danger is in those that are unnecessary, proximate occasions of sin, or even in necessary occasions of sin, where one does not use the means to prevent them from leading to sin. St. Alphonsus says, his advice to priests on this, he says, as a general rule, when confessors are dealing with the danger of formal sin, especially sins of impurity, they must be as strict with the penitent as is necessary to safeguard his eternal salvation. A confessor whose kindness prompts him to allow them to remain or put themselves in an occasion is actually being very unkind. And St. Thomas of Villanova calls such a confessor zealous without real zeal. This kind of charity is against charity. Then he says, for those in continuous occasions of sin, St. Charles teaches that absolution must be denied until they have removed the occasion. The reason is this: this penitent is indisposed for absolution if he does not first remove the occasion of sin, because he places himself in the proximate danger of breaking his resolve and consequently of remaining in the same occasion of sin. If we take an analogy, if you were to drive 100 miles an hour through a residential neighborhood and you hit and killed someone, the judge would not listen to the excuse to say, well, Your Honor, I did not intend to kill anyone. You say, yes, indirectly you did, because you did something that you knew had a high probability of leading to that. And just as we would not listen to the excuse of that person to say, I did not intend to hit someone, we cannot take seriously the word of someone who says, I hate my sins, I don't want to sin, but who keeps on putting himself in the very same occasions of sin as led to it all the other times. One who goes to the same place that has led to sin, who continues to associate with the same persons who have led to sin, and the same things. If we do have a true purpose of amendment, we must be willing to remove, to cut out those proximate occasions of sin, otherwise we cannot be forgiven, and the absolution of the priest in confession would be meaningless without that. Our Lord, this is not the opinion of a theologian, it's our Lord's own words, when he says, if your eye scandalize you, pluck it out. If your hand scandalize you, cut it off. What is more necessary, useful than our eye or hand? But our Lord says, if it's a choice between that and sin, pluck it out, cut it off. So even a necessary occasion of sin, even if we, certain things are necessary, but if they lead to sin, we must be willing to get rid of them, to pluck them out. As our Lord said, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but suffer the loss of his own soul? And lastly, how often should we go to confession? It's impossible to give a hard and fast rule. We get some idea of the mind of the church in this, of what the church would recommend, in the fact that when it comes to gaining indulgences, canon law says those who are accustomed to go every 2 weeks to confession, or twice a month, are exempt from the requirement of confession for those indulgences that require it. I forget exactly which canon it is, but you can look it up. And so certainly that shows the mind of the church, and also the church says for religious that they are to go to confession once a week. And as one theologian writing about this said, there are not many nuns that are in the habit of robbing banks, and yet the church says religious should go to confession once a week. Not obviously because They have mortal sins, but because of the great value of going regularly to confession. I recommend once a month, as a general rule, not less than once a month, and for some, it should be more often. We're obligated to go certainly more often if it's morally necessary to remain in the state of grace. You know, St. John Bosco, St. Philip Neri, they recommended, especially to those struggling with impurity, to even go every day, if necessary, to confession. And someone who only goes once a month, and who knows that by going so seldom, that they will continue in habits of grave sin, they actually commit a sin of neglecting to go to confession more often, when they know it's morally necessary to get out of sin. But I would say, even as it's important to say, when it comes to children, to go to confession, not because of mortal sin, to try to go to confession, if you can, especially during the teenage years, once a week is good. Father Timon David, in the 1800s, had 40 years of experience hearing the confessions of children, directing youth groups, teaching catechism. He asked this question, how often should children go to confession? And he says, once a month is not often enough because for young children, they won't remember the advice the priest gave. They forget things so quickly that it's impossible to give them spiritual direction when they only come once a month, because they will forget it. And for older children, who have to fight against the passions, they need more frequent confession to remain strong. The passions are like fire. If you happen to get a little fire that starts, something catches on fire in your home, you then say, oh, I'll put it out next month. You run immediately. You get something, the fire extinguisher or something. You put out the flame when it's small because it's easy. If you wait, it quickly becomes a big flame that's very difficult. And the passions are that way. So Bishop Dupanloh wrote the famous book, three volumes on education of children that Pius IX recommended. He said to parents, he said, you ask, how can we keep our children innocent and pure? He says, we priests recommend to you that of necessity, frequent confession for your children. But you don't want to do it. You say it's too inconvenient. He says, then you bring them to us only occasionally for confession. He says, in that case, even a saint couldn't help you if the saint heard your son's confession, the way you come so seldom. And Saint Anthony Claret, in his book of advice to mothers, he says, there's no surer way to keep your children innocent and pure than regular confession and frequent communion. And he quotes from the famous Father John Gerson around the 1400s, who wrote a book called Leading the Little Children to Christ. And Father Gerson says in there that he says, in his long experience, there's no surer way to lead children to Christ than good confessions. And so you have the blessing here of, and St. John Bosco, this is what he said to the boys in his school. He said, if you don't care about getting to heaven, go once a month. If you kind of care about saving your soul, but aren't too serious about it, go every other week. If you want to lead a holy life, go every week. And again, he's speaking to the children, because certainly there may be some adults who have long learned to control the passions, have grown old in their spiritual battles, that may be perfectly fine with once a month. But for the children, for the youth, they're just learning. They're like soldiers in training. They need that regular confession. So you have the blessing here of a school with special times for the children to go to confession. And that is a real blessing. It pains me, it has often in the past, in parishes where there's not a school, to see sometimes families show up Sunday after Sunday with their children just before Mass starts. So clearly there's no opportunity for the children, if they wanted confession, they couldn't go. And this would be a serious neglect on the parents' parts to not provide that opportunity. They might say, oh, well, my child doesn't commit mortal sins, doesn't need confession. But what happens, what if your child wants to go to confession? What happens on the day when something is troubling his conscience? Maybe there is a lapse into a serious sin, or some qualm of conscience, some doubt of conscience, and you leave him in that state for a month or longer. How can you answer to God the harm that comes when that leads to despair and many more sins and formation of habits that then become very difficult to eradicate? And so it's hard to say a hard and fast rule, but certainly parents who do not give regular opportunities for the children to go to confession, even though they may not believe they need it, they would be seriously sinning in not giving their children at least the opportunity to go if they wanted to. So I've already gone on too long. That's an important subject, but I'll end just in recommending when we go regularly to confession, whether we're young or old, we have no mortal sins to confess. The best thing to do to make a good use of confession is not to list a litany of every venial sin we can think of. Instead, choose just the few that we fall into the most, and always pick one that we resolve to especially work on. And that way because we do need a purpose of amendment, at least for one of those sins that we confess, even when the only thing we confess is venial sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.